tonight. Welcome to Leadership Academy. I hope you guys are out there and listening and ready to learn, because we are going to teach today. And this show is all about leadership. It's all about having an open mindset around leadership and having the understanding that there is always more that can be learned about how we lead each other, our teams. And, you know, essentially, this is a business podcast. So this show is proudly hosted by AJ Willoughby. I am getting the unique privilege and honor to guest host for him today. So he's not with us, but I did want to give him a quick shout out. And the show is also sponsored by Titan Media Works. So I know we're going to have a fantastic conversation with our guest today. We'll jump right in. I'm meeting with Riley Newman. He is he's a lot of things. You know, he's an author of a best-selling book called Brandy. I love the pun on this. It's actually 101 sips of wisdom for attaining a successful brand. And he's also the founder of Motif Brands. So he is in the branding business. And so I know he's going to have a lot of valuable stuff to talk about today. We're also going to talk a little bit about his book and about his background. So we'll jump right in. Riley, how are you today?
Doing great. And yourself?
Doing well. Doing well. Hopefully that wasn't too long and painful of an intro there, but you know, I had to shorten it. I could have probably spent half the podcast just talking about your background. You've done a little bit of everything.
A little bit of everything. That's what brand is, right? How you do anything, how you do everything.
Yeah. Well, just, you know, for the benefit of our listeners, tell us a little bit about how you got into the branding business and what really led you to write your book.
So my background started off in graphic design, and that really kind of started building a foundation for design theory, psychology, how design influences that, and what the difference is between art and design, and how to actually use design to drive business results. And that really led me into strategy, more psychology, and understanding, oh, that's what brand is. And had some great mentors, some great education along the way, and being able to build my business from the ground up, of really just client by client, brick by brick, and leading more and more into more mature businesses who are focused on brand. They understand that brand must come before marketing and before advertising, and really kind of focusing on the big picture and the strategy of it. And so that's really where Motif plays this role with businesses who are, you know, around that 10-year mark, maybe older, where they're starting to look at, hey, let's, we've grown, we have our momentum, we have a history behind us. Now, where do we go? How do we really take this to the next level?
Well, and you know, brand is a living and breathing thing for a business, right? It's not, and you touched on this, it's not marketing, right? There's a difference. Yeah. I think there's some misconceptions out there, right? You should be marketing your already existing brand. You shouldn't be confusing the two. Right.
Yeah. No, definitely. And that's where a lot of these businesses that we either become in contact with, or they reach out to us, where they're either playing the advertising game, or they're spending monthly, you know, funds on just advertising. They're feeding this machine and they're becoming dependent on it and playing, you know, the numbers game, or their marketing is still at work. They're trying to do these things. They're doing what they think they should be doing. And all of that is happening, but they're actually just, it's not compounding. There's nothing catching those impressions from the marketing and advertising efforts to actually start building brand, which is essentially perception within your audience's mind. And so that's what with Brandy, with the book, we're really trying to focus on these really nebulous concepts that, you know, it usually is a huge learning curve for businesses of going, no, this is like, we're focusing on the perception of your business. And they go, well, I have awareness, I have reputation. It's like, that's great. Everyone has awareness. If you have a business, you most likely have some ounce of awareness. But that doesn't mean you have a brand. And so Brandy is these insights of really boiled down large concepts of being able to just kind of get the point across, where a business owner, a marketer could be drinking their coffee, having a glass of wine at night, and be able to flip through it, read some of these, and really start digesting. I get texts from, you know, business owners who are on planes going to the UK, all around the world, where it's just like people reading Brandy and they're doing it, you know, in these short little snippets, and it's really working for them.
Well, and I love that it's a workbook. Right. Because one of my mentors early on said that education without implementation is purely entertainment. Right. And uh-huh. You've actually structured your book to be really tactical. In fact, you've got some, you know, some really highly sought after feedback. I mean, the former president of Starbucks actually said, you won't be sorry for reading this book. And he actually specifically states it's not often that a subject is so clearly explained, and that it gives you the steps necessary for excellence. So, I mean, that's pretty high praise.
Yeah, no, and we're honored to receive that. And it really is that's been the feedback so far. So it's been, you know, 3 years of writing to get this boiled down. Myself with decades of experience, Scott, who works with me and helped me write it as well. He has decades of experience in design and marketing. And we just really came together and boiled this thing down to be able to go, okay, what do we want these businesses to know? And what's going to actually, like you said, be something that they can apply? It's not just big lofty concepts. And that's what really, I think, being in our world of brand and marketing, it gets frustrating because a lot of marketing firms, they do these lofty concepts that we call like fluffy, where it's just kind of, they'll tell clients, hey, you need to do certain things, or tell businesses to, you know, have these other like just non-grounded theories or concepts. And it's not helping the business. It's not helping the business owner or the marketers actually be able to make those, whether it's an inch or a foot of movement, you know, day by day, and really start compounding their efforts. It doesn't work.
Well, and I want to highlight something too, because I'm not in the branding business yet. I'm in business, so I'm in the branding business, right? And it's really confusing as a business owner when I'm trying to understand those concepts, because I'm not from that world, right? And so, what do you do within the book to kind of make that digestible? I mean, is there something in particular about your approach, or are there a few key concepts that you feel like are really easy to land, regardless of whether you have any kind of, design experience?
Yeah, it's not so much related to design, but actually going, okay, relating, because I come from business, investing, and, you know, strategy world. So being able to apply this to actually, hey, what's it like running a business, right? I run a business. I know what it's like. I'm in it day after day. And being able to go, yeah, these clients that we work with, I know they give me their financials. They tell me so much information about the business. So I see this wide swath of business models, ones that have teeny margins, ones that have, you know, a little fattier margins, and going, okay, they're not playing to their strengths, right? And in business, I feel like being able to apply some of these things, and what we've done in the book is going, you know, giving them solid examples to look at that they're actually, they can relate with and actually refer to in the real world. And then boiling that down, because, you know, everyone can use Apple or Disney as a example, but what does that mean? You're not Apple, you're not Disney, you're not Target. So what those brands are doing, it's on a totally different level. And so what does that mean for the small business or the seven-figure business? It's like, how do they actually apply those things and make those efforts count, right? And so that's where it's like having them understand the human psychology of brand design, marketing, and advertising. That's how they actually can start unlocking what their business can do. Because just like with anything, you know, psychology is at the core, because we're all humans, we're all irrational, and we're all, you know, we never want to be sold something, but we love buying things. And so having them, you know, understand that and start making that transition from, you know, sale to going, no, let's have empathy and think about where our audience is coming from and how they want to buy. Is this even right for them? You know, and having them really kind of challenge themselves on that, because as they challenge themselves, and that's what we've done in Brandy, is like raising questions or having them have thoughts to be able to digest, where then they can start refining their business model and therefore their brand and their position in the market.
Well, and I'm sure that there's a certain level of business maturity or a certain level of understanding from your clientele before you can accurately launch or relaunch or rebrand, right? To make sure that you're on the right track. And so that's the other thing I'm curious about. You know, I'd love your insight on what are those indicators that mean, okay, I need to refresh the brand or rebrand, you know, because I see some people rebrand every, it seems like, year. And I'm just like, well, that's not the play. I can tell that that's not the play, right? So what do you think sparks the need to actually relook at your brand?
I'll tell you what's a bad rebrand is, you know, red flags of a poor rebrand is when you look at the competition. This is what you've seen in some of the bigger brands right now, which they've called this trend called blanding, where these brands that had so much intellectual assets to it and recognizable associations like Burberry and some of these other brands that essentially have diluted and joined the whole movement of going from this very intricate, you know, elevated brand, and then they just they boil it down to like a sans serif type, just because it looks like everyone else. Or actually, the automotive industry is a great one as well. You look at every like quote unquote high end brand that makes a model, is that now they spread the brand name, you know, evenly spaced across the tail, and it's all because, you know, Range Rover perhaps was the first one who did that. But really, it's like you look at them all copying the other. So signs of a poor rebrand is if you're looking at the competition, you're doing something just because they're doing it, or, oh, wow, they rebranded and we should do that too. That's not strategic. And we call those like knee-jerk reactions. And that's playing defense and not playing offense. And the best brands in any market are the ones playing offense, because they're thinking five steps ahead. They're doing things that are deliberate. They're not playing defense and reacting to things. They're responding. And so I think some of the like businesses, they'll either look at the competition, look at what trends out there or what's going on, and they'll just kind of start doing these things. It's like there's no strategy, or they're doing it because someone's job is to, you know, they might be a new hire, or they might be trying to do something and justify their position. And they're just kind of making a poor judgment call on going, hey, we have to do something new. We need to do something new, right? And just get a new logo and stuff like that isn't going to really make that difference that they're going for if there's no strategy involved. It's like, why, right? What's the objective behind this? And that's really, you know, when we talk with clients, it's understanding, okay, is now even a good time for a rebrand? Why do you want to do this? And what's the objective? Are you wanting to exit in 5 years? You know, are you handing this down to your kids? Like, what's the point of the business? And how does that actually apply? Because with this, with rebranding and psychology, and even marketing, it's like with these tools, there has to be a business objective.
Well, it's about alignment, right? If it's aligning with your exit strategy, with your business strategy, with your even your succession, you know, yeah, absolutely. You know, there's an employee factor there too, right? I mean, because a good brand is not just external, it's internal, right? I mean, I'm sure you've seen that as well, because it has an impact on the way everybody jumps on board and goes towards one clear mission.
Yep. No, and that's, you know, big, actually one of the most highlighted parts of Brandy on Kindle is it's about our brand clarity. And we always say brand clarity drives brand confidence, because when people do have clarity of their business, of their brand, as a business owner, as an employee, as an investor, as a shareholder, that benefits all of them involved, because they know, hey, this is the marching order. This is where we're going. This is the North Star, right? Everyone's dancing to the same drum, and it's all making sense. And that actually adds clarity to who wants to even apply to work there, because they go, oh yeah, that I jive with that. I connect with that. I align with that. Or they go, no, that's not for me. Right. It's why like a PC employee probably wouldn't apply to a job at Apple, or someone who liked Android isn't going to apply, you know, to work at Apple. And the same thing goes for clarity in the customer as well, in the audience. When they have that clarity, then they go, oh yeah, brand X is for me, not brand Y. I like Nike, not Adidas. I like Coke, not Pepsi. Right. And so when there is that clarity, then there's that alignment. It allows someone to be able to align to it and actually then get on the boat and enjoy the ride, because they're actually able to, on a psychological basis, it's them being able to go, yes, this aligns with my internal narrative, how I see the world and what I believe in and how I want to be seen. And most of the times these brands are just reinforcing that identity, how I see myself, why I drive a certain car, why I wear this certain pair of shoes, why I use a certain computer.
Well, and you touched on something there too that I want to highlight, Riley. So you talked about, you know, Coke, Pepsi, you talked about Nike, Adidas, and, you know, I was in a business course not too long ago, and they talked about no matter the industry, it always becomes at some point a two-horse race, right? And then third is a distant third, right? And so I think that that's a good case for what a brand can do, but it's also why you shouldn't just be replicating one of the big one or two. If you're not number one or number two, replicating them is not reinforcing your position. It's actually reinforcing theirs. What are your recommendations when you are working with a client that's doing a rebrand and they're just looking at that number one or number two horse, mm-hmm. and feeling like they should go that direction? I mean, is there a methodology that you work through to get them in the right mindset to approach the brand from the right way?
Yeah, having them understand frame of reference, and that's the same thing. I could ask anyone, hey, what do you think of this object or subject? And each person is going to have a different frame of reference depending on how they were raised, their culturally, their background, how they see the world now, if anything, you know, drastic happened to them, religion, all these things that make us individuals give us these different, you know, pretty much perspectives in that way. Same thing happens with brands, is that some people are, you know, keyed toward Nike or Adidas or Pepsi or Coke based off of who they are as individuals. And so really helping a client understand, hey, frame of reference, we have to consider that, because when you're comparing yourself to the number one or number two, you're creating that comparison, right? So now you're giving your audience that comparison, you're handing it over to them and go, okay, it's like what Pepsi's done, right? Pepsi's got themselves in a pigeonhole because everything they do is comparing themselves to Coke. Unlike 7-Up or Sprite that did the un-cola or the, you know, the discolored cola back in the day, but like they carved out and made their own path in the soda market. And so, you know, it's not so much to be better than your competition. And being different is good, but to be different, you still have to compare yourself to what you're being what you're contrasting with, but to be distinct as a brand. And Byron Sharp, who's an author out there, he leans heavily into this of going, hey, it's not about being different, but about being distinct. And distinct, that's what makes you you, right? Each individual, each brand is distinct on its own behalf because of their individual characteristics and attributes. It's not because they're being compared to these, you know, tertiary parties. They're actually being just distinct in and of themselves. So when we work with clients, it's helping them go, hey, what are your strengths? What makes you you? What pays the bills? Where's the profitability? And let's lean into those things. What becomes easier as you go logistically and becomes more profitable as you go? Because most of the times these businesses, they start comparing themselves. How do we be better? How do we be different? And then they start opening up too many services or offerings and they become kind of just everywhere, right? And you look at Trader Joe's, that's why they're successful, that they stay in their lane. Their SKUs are a fraction of what you go into Albertsons or Kroger's or anything like that. And now Hasbro is following that suit. They just cut 50% of their SKUs because they're sharpening their, you know, tip of the spear. And so you look at these brands, it's like, that's how you do it. That's how you focus and you have that distinct nature to your brand.
I love that distinction versus differentiation, right? Because one is comparing to others versus comparing you to yourself. That's huge.
Yeah, that's huge. Certainly.
So you've got 101 tips in your book, and I know that we don't have enough time to go through every single one of them, but there's got to be a few that stand out that you really attach to. So I'm curious, Riley, what do you think like the top two or three that everybody should be implementing, regardless of what industry they're in?
Really, the brand clarity creates brand confidence. That's a huge one, because the more clarity you build, just the more confident you're going to be in. Not only your sales, but your marketing, you'll know your tone, you'll understand, hey, our brand is this. That means in this context of maybe a billboard or a, you know, TV ad, we act this way and we respond this way. Another great one is looking at profitability just within brands is that McKinsey actually did a report probably 8 years ago where they actually showed how top performing, you know, on the S&P and the Dow, it's like the top performing corporations there actually had the stronger brands and invest the most in those areas. And it was actually the first time anyone's ever actually done that type of report. So it was a big thing. But really look at profitability with brands, because really when you do, to me, brand is long-term vision. It's an offensive game. It's chess. You're playing five steps ahead. And when you're doing that, that forces you to really create this optimization and effectiveness of understanding what you do as a business. And like I was saying earlier, it's like, that sharpens the tip of the spear. So you go, no, this is all we do. This is what we're good at. And this is how we really level up and use that to scaffold higher in that certain area. You're not playing the broad game. And that's to me what brand represents, because you can only stand for one thing in someone's head. When you think of a certain brand, there's going to be one major instance that comes to mind. And a lot of these businesses are just trying to, they're doing a shotgun approach versus being much more accurate in their presentation.
You're exactly right there. It's gotta be aligned, right? I'm curious though, you know, what do you see as being different from a personal brand and a business brand? I mean, do you have clients that you work with that are actually working on personally branding themselves? I'm thinking like keynote speakers or maybe even personalities within companies. I mean, you know, obviously I could toss out some big names that everybody associates with you know, having their own personal brand. But is it the same strategy or is that a different approach?
It really does come down to the same strategy, like same theory of it. And we've worked with businesses where you do have a lead personality at the forefront, where then you go, okay, we need to start peeling this off. Because if they are going to exit someday, is their success is going to be traded off with the brand, right? Or like some of these other founders where they start peeling off and they start creating their own Substack or these other, you know, revenue sources, or they go start something different and that cross-pollination of legitimacy obviously crosses over with them. So there's always something to consider, but with a personal brand, it's much more like, to me, that allows you to speak more on beliefs, more on personal level, more on how you see the world. It's more perspective in that sense, because really then it's like, okay, I associate with that thinking and that mindset versus the business and brand. That's to me more in the identity category of this brand helps me express myself in a certain way, or I align with how it makes me feel. And I think that there's a difference there. It's nuanced, but it's still, there's a difference. But the overall, I guess, strategy and approach to it should be the same with a personal brand, where you're being distinct in of yourself. Like, you are an individual person. You don't want to start acting like these other speakers, because they're already out there and that's already taken. Like, don't act like Tony Robbins. Don't act like Steve Jobs. Like, they're already out there. They're already taken. So be yourself in that way and just really invest in that. And I think that's where having that confidence and having that that bravery to do so is a huge, huge move for a lot of people. It can lead to a lot of great things.
Well, that makes a lot of sense when you talk to the strategy, you know, so mm-hmm. I appreciate you sharing that perspective. You're exactly right. If your strategy for exit is to have some synergy, right, for lack of a better word, between multiple companies within a network with one figurehead, then it may make sense to have an anchor around a person. But I've seen brands completely die because they have too much attachment to the founder or CEO or president or whoever that the face of the company is, because when they exit, so does the business, right? Yeah. So that can be true too, depending on what the long-term play is.
Yeah. So it is important to go, okay, even when Steve Jobs died, like, I remember there being such a drastic, it created such a gap and doubt with Apple, going, oh my gosh, like, are they going to be able to stay innovative? And some people would argue that they haven't. But the big, like you're saying, is like being able to, if the personal brand and the leader is drawing that much kind of gravity towards it, it is wise to start developing the other brand as well of the entity and be like, okay, how do we have these work together and create some cross-pollination between them? Because they complement each other, but also not have them dependent on one another.
Well, that dependency risk can help or hurt you, right? I should say, you know, if you have too much of a dependency risk, then your valuation, if you sell a company, is down. Your long-term client value is down 100%. I know we could talk branding all day long. We could talk companies all day long. I really appreciate your time, and all the insight that you've shared so far. Is there anything that you think would be, the best lesson, that you could share with any of our listeners that are, fellow leaders that are out there that are looking to, upgrade their brand presence or upgrade their strategy? What would be your one piece of advice for them to put into action today?
I would say it's kind of like what the advice they give you with personal finances, where it's, if you want a clear scope of where you're, how you are on your finances, like, look at your credit card bill, right? I feel like the same applies to business, where it's like, look at where the money is coming from. Because most of the time, I feel like as business owners, after hundreds I've talked to, we become almost delusional in where we go, oh, our customers or our audience, they're wanting these other services. They're wanting these other offerings. They're wanting all these things. And we just, again, we start becoming too broad because we think that's what we should be doing. We think we're going to drive more revenue, do these certain things. And I forgot I said it, but it comes down to, like, not all revenue is created equally. And what I love about brand, even more than marketing and advertising, that brand, it makes you focus. And you look at all the successful, you know, corporations, businesses, they have that focus. And brand is that natural kind of catalyst to really create that. And, you know, with a business, like, look at where the money's coming from. Look at the revenue. Now look at the profitability of all those efforts on delivering those to drive that revenue. Because, like, you're going to see clear indications of, man, yes, we may have a lot of revenue coming in from over there, but the profitability on that is, you know, razor thin compared to this other section that we should focus on. Because that's really going to give you clear signals of not only where your strengths are, but really where your audience appreciates you and what they want to pay you for, because they're willing to pay you more than what the actual, you know, objective value is. They're looking at the perceived value, and that's what's going to drive up your profitability even more, is that that perception and that perceived value, which is directly tied to your brand, that's where you're really going to see the most growth. And those are really the biggest lever I see with businesses, is like looking at brand and being able to ratchet up and increase that profitability, where it's going to make your life a whole lot easier personally, but also for the business itself. It's going to create a whole healthier ecosystem.
Fantastic advice. If you guys missed that, make sure that you take the time to write it down, because just because you can deliver a product or service doesn't mean you should. Right.
We're
all entrepreneurial in spirit. It's kind of a breed within the business space, and so it's hard to say no to an opportunity when you're drawn to it. Right.
Yeah.
But I love the way you put that, as you know, your brand can be a focusing thing. It could be a filter to make sure that you're staying in the lane that you need to be in. Right. So great advice. Fantastic book. I'm excited to have more people check it out. And I do want to give you an opportunity to let people know how to do that. I mean, what's your preferred method if they want to get in contact with you, or if they want to check out your book or some of the other offerings that you have? How can they do that?
They can learn more about Motif at motifbrands.com. Brandy, the book, is available on Amazon, but also we have a website set up for it at brandybook.us. And if you want to connect on LinkedIn, you can just search my name and I'll pop up.
Awesome. Thank you again. Really appreciate your time, Riley. I know that we're right there at our time, so I want to be sensitive to yours. And guys, if you're listening and you enjoy this conversation, make sure you tune in. I promise you the host will get better next time, because AJ will be here and I won't have to fill in, so you guys will have a good time. But the guest, that doesn't mean that we had a bad guest today. So I really, really appreciate your time, Riley. And I know this will be a valuable conversation for anybody that is out there that's looking to make sure that they're focused on whatever their business should be doing, and what brand is going to get them there. So stay tuned for more great conversations around leadership. Stay tuned to learn and learn more from others. And we look forward to more conversations. So I'll sign off for now. Thanks again, Riley. Have a great day.
Thank you.